I want to welcome you to the evening service. It takes the form of a parents' night for Youth Challenge. Not the same as in the past, but still we want to have this night together. And we welcome you in the Saviour's precious name. I'm going to sing a children's hymn to begin with, number 700. Around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand, children whose sins are all forgiven, a holy, happy band. Been a very special week for us as a congregation because it has been our annual youth challenge, done remotely this time over the internet, but many children tuned in every day, and we're very thankful to Josh Moffat, the Reverend Joshua Moffat, and Phil Harden, who is behind me here on the left, for being the speakers through the week. And we're going to ask our brother Reverend Moffat to come and open in prayer as he makes his way up to the front just to pray. You remember this Romanian pastor, Pastor Ion Popescu from Moldova Noua. He's in intensive care with COVID-19, and his wife is also in hospital with the virus. And many of you have been praying for little Hannah Smith from Ballycastle, who was involved in a very serious accident 3 months ago and spent the past 3 months in the Royal Victoria Hospital. She has got home now to continue with her recovery. And our thoughts and prayers are with her and her father especially, and the rest of the family. And we've also been remembering the situation in Beirut, in Lebanon. And we think of our brother Trabolsi, who has visited Northern Ireland many times. Many of his congregation and friends were involved in that explosion that devastated the city. And we want to remember those who belong to the household of faith particularly. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to be back in Hebrew. This is our hope. Micah's first time in Hebron. Things are a little bit different from the last time we were here. There's a lot of distancing going on, but we're glad to be back, glad to be fellowshipping with you once again as friends and family. It was good this past week to be able to take part in the Youth Challenge. I think this was the week that the children were best behaved. There was no talking during the story. They were quiet. They were well behaved because they weren't there. We were able to get through it without any interruptions. But we were glad to have Youth Challenge this week. And we do pray with you that many boys and girls would come to know the Lord as their own and personal Savior. I'd like to thank as well Andrew Park. There was a lot of work going into editing and putting all of the videos together. Phil Harton and me had the easy jobs of just recording the messages. Andrew, he had the hard job of making sure everything fitted well together. And we'd like to thank Andrew and mention him especially for the hard work and many hours he has put in to making Youth Challenge possible even this past week. Let's bow for a moment's prayer as we commit our meeting into the hands of Almighty God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee and praise Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank Thee that as we meet together tonight, we don't meet together just to socialize or just to sing a few songs and go home again. But Lord, we come to worship the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Lord, we thank Thee that we come to worship one who has loved us and who has given Himself for us. Lord, we thank Thee that we come to serve the risen Christ, the Christ who is not upon the cross, the Christ who is not in the grave, the Christ who is not buried in the tomb, but the Christ who is risen again in the power of an endless life and who right now is seated on the throne of glory and ever liveth to make intercession for us. Father, we do thank Thee for this week that has gone out into eternity. We thank Thee for the many messages that were brought for the boys and girls, both in the junior and senior youth challenges. Thank Thee for all those who took part by way of quiz and leading the choruses and stories and crafts. And Father, we do pray that as Thy word has gone forward, that the entrance of Thy word would give light to boys and girls here in Ballymoney. Lord, we pray that eternity would reveal the work of God that has been done this week. Lord, we do look forward to hearing the reports of boys and girls coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Father, we thank Thee that the Lord, when He was here on earth, had time for the boys and girls. In fact, He said, "Suffer the children to come unto Me." And Father, if Thou dost make time in the limited time that Thou wast here on earth for the boys and girls, Lord, how much more should we make time for them as well? Lord, we do pray for their souls. We do pray for them that they wouldn't just hear the stories and go about their business, but that they would come, turn from sin, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved marvelously. Even this very night, Lord, do bless our brother Phil Harton as he would bring the gospel message tonight. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst bless him, that Thou wouldst endue him with power from on high, that Thou wouldst give him unction of the Holy Ghost, and that as he would stand and speak, it would be as thus and thus saith the Lord, that it would not just be a sermon but a message unto each one of our hearts. Lord, speak to my heart. Speak to the hearts of the children. Speak to the hearts of every adult. Speak even to our brother's heart as he brings the message. Take away the fear of man. Take away all distractions in this meeting. Put the devil out. And Lord, give us the presence of Christ tonight. We do pray that Jesus Himself would draw near, and that Thou wouldst come and be one of our number. It's Thy presence maketh the feast. And Lord, as we look out to this congregation, and as we look to the many numbers and the many visitors that are out tonight, we do pray that the greatest visitor would be the visitor of the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, come visit us tonight with saving grace, with the blessing of salvation. Lord, we confess salvation is of the Lord. And Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst work in some heart or some life, and save them mightily by Thy grace. Bless all who would take part tonight, Lord, we pray. And let tonight be a night greatly blessed and used of God. For Thine own name's sake we pray, and that Christ would receive all of the glory, in whose name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Joshua. And we welcome you and Leah back to your home congregation with your addition. The two little ones that are here this evening, we're delighted that in this holiday time you're able to be with us worshipping in Hebron. We welcome everyone to the meeting tonight, to this Parents' Night, and to those that are listening in on Sermon Audio and Facebook. I want to remind you that the children's work goes on this week. FPC Kids will be broadcast every morning at 10 o'clock this week on behalf of our mission board. Thursday night is the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, and David McCauley is the guest speaker. So pray for David as he comes to bring the word of God. Next Lord's Day, worship service, 12 noon. One of our elders, Mr. Mervyn Storey, will be the speaker. The open air in the afternoon at 3:30. And then the gospel service at 7. And Mr. Phil Moffat, our clerk of session, will be the preacher at the evening service. So pray for these men as they come, that the Lord will bless their ministry. I want to thank you for your offerings. We don't have the public offerings any longer. There are baskets at the door, but you've been bringing them in even during lockdown for the work of God, for the missionary cause, for the school. I want to thank you in the Lord's name. You will see that our IT equipment needs to be updated, and hopefully in a couple of weeks' time this projector will be replaced so that you can see more clearly what is above my head. We had the loan of a projector and we saw how excellent it was, and we're looking forward to the replacement. Money has been sent in to help with the new IT equipment, new cameras and operating system. And just a wee update from this morning, gifts received thus far, £12,800 and a $300 gift from the United States of America. And one of those gifts you'll see added to the list there came online, a gift of £250. To those who have contributed in any way, small and large gifts have come in. Thank you in the Lord's great name. We received missionary gifts, £50 for the Indian Orphan Project. That gift came from Scotland. And then a gift of £200 to provide a hand water pump in one of the remote areas of Pakistan. So we want you to pray. Maybe Clifford will put the two centre lights off so that they can see these wee photographs tonight. This is a fresh photograph just taken today. The Orphan Project goes ahead, and many children were receiving little packages of food today. But I just want you to see that, if you can see it tonight, it's maybe quite difficult. Some of the places that they have to get to, this is a large lake that has to be crossed. And I'm told it can be quite dangerous in the monsoon period. But these workers, you can see them carrying the food down in their backs to get into a boat. It's raining, it's the monsoon time, to go across this lake and then to continue on their journey. This is the kind of terrain that they have to cross that gets to some of the homes. And some of the obstacles that they come across, they have to get across rivers like this that are flowing very swiftly at this time of the year. We had the pastors' conference. Thank you for praying for it. We were able to speak to about 20 pastors last Tuesday, and various messages went out to them on the Monday and the Tuesday, and a lot of feedback from that. These pastors have been blessed. We've been preaching now every Sunday for quite a few weeks in Pakistan. We haven't flown over in a jet, but we have done this remotely over the internet or through a mobile phone. And we were speaking to this group of people. We've spoken to them before, and many of them stood to their feet. And again, maybe only eternity is going to reveal what happened, but the congregation stood today saying they wanted to receive Christ as their Savior. Remember, these people come in the tribal areas from a Hindu background, Hindus that worship many, many gods, and these people have now been hearing the message of Christ, and we trust that with whatever understanding they have, that they will truly seek the Lord and find Him as Saviour. That's all the announcements that we have to make. We're going to sing together again. I need a little assistant tonight that's able to come, and we're going to ask somebody from my family. And Jake, where is Jake? Jake's going to come and help me. Where is he? Come hither, young man. He's able to stand beside me because he's my grandson. You can stand up there. All right. put the first one up to see if it was working. It's working. I'm going to sing three verses of Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, and our organist and pianist are going to try and follow me in the key of C. Best of the children, you can do that. Don't be hitting anybody beside you. Thank you. press the next one. Okay, that brings us on to our speaker tonight, Mr. Phil Harden. Phil, we're very glad to have you, and we thank you for coming this week remotely, bringing the gospel to the children, and we trust that you will know divine enablement tonight as you bring the message. You're very welcome to Ballymoney. Lord bless you, brother.
Well, how's it going? All right. It's the same Belfast. What about you? Are you all okay? That's good.
That's good. Okay.
Well, I want to thank your minister for the kind words of welcome along here tonight. I'm going to pull this down a wee bit. I don't think it matters. In fact, I think I've got this one on, so we're okay. I was thinking on the way in, just a wee line came into my head, and I was thinking about exams this week. Anybody do exams? I'm looking at some of you. It must be about 40 years ago you'd have done them. But it's easy to become disappointed in life, isn't that right? And sometimes we don't get the grades, and we don't get the things that maybe we thought we would get, and we get disappointed. And I thought about this wee line. Our disappointments are often God's appointments. Isn't that right? So maybe you have been discouraged this week, or maybe you feel that you didn't get what you thought you would get and all the rest of it. You always remember, God's still in control. What do God's people say? Any Christians, put your hand up. What do God's people say? Amen. Absolutely. Are disappointments often God's appointments? Well, this week we were looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to thank you people for tuning in. Hopefully you all were able to do that. And everybody's got their mobile phones now and you can just tune in on the go. But I'm thinking about the Bible and how the Bible is a timeless book. It's a timeless book. And I've got a couple of wee sayings here, and I wonder if you heard of them. I'm sure you have. Some of you will. And someone would say, maybe, I'm at my wit's end. He's doing my head in, or she's doing my head in. Or maybe in the way in you were saying that, I'm at my wit's end with her. When? Did you ever hear that before? I'm at my wit's end. Put your hand up if you have. Or maybe it's a Port of Town one or something. Okay. Yes, I'm at my wit's end. Well, that's based on Psalm 107 and verse 21, where it says, they're at their wit's end. Another common one is, go the extra mile. And this one is found in the section of Scripture often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. What we've been thinking about this week with the young people. We have been looking at some of the lessons that Jesus taught that day. And Jesus was primarily teaching his disciples. But there's a wider application for you and I tonight as well. And so that's what we want to continue on just for a few moments tonight. And as we consider these words of the Saviour, we begin to realise how opposite they are to our world's perspective. I was chatting to a young man recently, and, well, he was telling me about he'd passed his driving test maybe 6 months ago, and then one day he was coming home from work, knowing that rush hour traffic, and as he came home, he was putting the car into gear and going along the road, and the clutch gave out and the car broke down and he's stuck on the road. Has that ever happened to anyone? The car just stops and you're stuck and there's traffic all around you and people beeping the horn and all that type of thing. Well, he got the car over to the side. He rung his dad. It's always cheap breakdown recovery. Ring the dad. And he rung his dad and his dad says, I'll get the tow rope and I'll tow you home. And so, in the meantime, the young fella, he searched in the boot and he found this. Do you know what this is? It's hard to say. I'll tell you what it is. It's a toe and eye. He eventually found it. He goes round to the front of the car. He begins to screw it in. What's happening? He's still working at it by the time his dad comes along. And his dad jumps out and says, well, son, did you get the toe and eye? He says, it's a wrong toe and eye. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. And his dad said, well, I wonder what he was... Was he doing something wrong? Yes, he was. He was screwing it in, but his dad noticed what he was doing. It wasn't the wrong one. He was putting it the wrong way. And the young fella learnt... maybe there's some farmers here tonight, and you're smiling because you know what he was doing. Or maybe a mechanic. The young fellow learnt the lesson of the left-hand thread, which are the first thread, and instead of doing it that way, he had to do it that way. And as I thought about that, and as I thought about the reverse thread, the life that Jesus offers reminds me of the reverse thread. Isn't that right? We think about our culture that we live in today, the attitude of our world. The majority of our world today is, get all you can. Get all you can, isn't that right? What does Jesus say? What does God's word say? It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. That's it. We're looking for a wee bit of participation as well. Alright, we're social distance, but you can still talk. So, here's another one. Our world says, if someone hurts you, get even. Get even. Or I'll get him back, or I'll get her back in the long grass, or I'll do something that'll really hurt them, or say something that'll hurt them. What does Jesus say? Turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Or in the Sermon on the Mount here, love your enemy. Love your enemy. It's hard to do. It's easy to come up here to the front like me and talk about it, but in practice, these are hard things. They're the very opposite of sometimes what we want to do, and the very opposite of the world and the culture in which we live in. Our world's motto very often, I remember serving an apprenticeship in engineering, and the boys would be coming in during the apprenticeship the weekend, after the weekend, and would say, here, you want to hear the weekend I had? Oh, and see around that lunch break, and they're all talking about all the things they've done, and all the partying, and all the drinking, and then they would kind of look at you, and you began to think to yourself, my life must be so, so boring. You know that whole motto, eat, drink, and be merry? But what does Jesus say? What did Jesus say to that man who, in the Bible, is a farmer? He was gathering all his stuff, getting more and more and more of it, accumulating it all up. Life was all about him. And what did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, thou fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You see, Jesus cut through all of this stuff in the culture and world around him. And Jesus brought this man face to face with reality. The reality that riches are temporal, but eternity is forever. Forever. We live in a world today, and I'm sure many will agree with this, we live in a world that's removed the very thought of God, removed accountability of sin and eternity. But young person, always remember this, an older person, how important it is to live with eternity in view. Not just to live for today, but to live with eternity in view. Just now, I would like us to consider another part of the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount by the Lord Jesus himself. Please turn with me to Matthew 7 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. We're just going to read two verses. Verse 13 and 14. Okay, verse 13. Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be which find it. Let's bring a wee word of prayer, please. Lord Jesus, we just come into thy great and mighty presence, O Lord, just now. We just pray that, Father, as you look down, even in this gathering tonight, you know the very hearts of everyone gathered. Father, we pray tonight, maybe there's someone and they're still outside of Christ. Lord, maybe someone tonight, Lord, and they're struggling. Maybe they're wandered far from the path. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll even draw them back to thyself, we pray. Lord, speak to men and women, boys and girls, young people, even online tonight. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you can still answer prayer and God is still in the same saving, soul-saving business. Lord, answer prayer. May I have thine own way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, these couple of verses remind us of two different roads, or pathways in life. two very different destinations for at the end of our lives. It doesn't say three different ways. There's two different ways and then a middle way. No, it doesn't say that. Just simply two different ways that the Lord Jesus speaks about here. And the very first one I want to speak about is this one. What does it say? It's the broad way. Okay, let's try it after two. One, two. The broad way. Thank you. You're with us. The broad way. Now, as we think about this, let's look to verse 13. And there we can see that the path starts with a wide. Wide is the gate. Wide is the gate. When I think about our lives and being born into this world, the Bible very clearly states and tells us that we are born sinners. In fact, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned." For all have sinned. Romans 5 and verse 12 makes it even clearer. It simply says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." All have sinned. And so that tells us that each one of us are born on the pathway, the broad road that leads to destruction, the Bible says. Okay? So as we think about that, we think about this pathway that each of us are on when we're born. And not only is there a pathway that we're on, but it's a wide pathway, we can see in this verse. How do we know? How do we know all this is true? Well, we know because the Bible tells us so. What's the little song that we were singing? Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells us so. The Bible, God's Word, it tells us. And this is God's Word tonight. God's Word is the ultimate truth. We can trust it because God cannot lie. It's His Word. It's God's revealed truth. Why is it wide? Well, we'll see that this road is a broad road. It tells us about this broad road in verse 13, and it's broad because there are many, many, many people on it. Many people on it. There are many travellers on it. It's a popular road. And many there be, in verse 13 it says, many there be which go in. Young person, there's loads of temptations out there. Older person, there's lots of temptations. We've got everything online nowadays. It's not right. It's all a touch of a button. There are many temptations there. And just because someone says it's the thing to do, or because everyone seems to do it, that used to be an excuse I used when I was younger. Couldn't get away. We used to say, oh, but you're everybody's doing it. Or everybody's got this particular thing that you were wanting. Isn't that right? But the reality was that they hadn't got all of this. But just because the majority are doing it does not make it right. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even though it looks right. We can think of many things that look right today. Isn't that right? But they could be like poison. We could see something that's really nice and it looks nice, but if we eat it, it could be poisonous. And so just because it looks right, it doesn't make it right. And we think about this broad road. I want us to think just for a wee moment about a man. What's this? What is it? Anybody know? Boys or girls? Anybody put your hand up and tell me quickly? What is it? Go quick. Is it a guitar? No? A banjo? Cricket bat, exactly right. It's a cricket bat. This cricket bat, it reminds me of a particular man. It reminds me of a man called Charlie. And as a wee boy, Charlie, well, he grew up, like all of you, to be a teenager. And as a young man, there was someone visiting his home. It happened to be a man who was an evangelist. And they were visiting the stud household. And there that day, as that man went across the lawn, he saw young Charlie, and he asked Charlie a question. Do you want to hear what he asked him? Are you ready? He asked him these words. Young man, are you a Christian? Whoa. Well, That caught Charlie on his back foot. He knew all about God. He could tell you all about him. But he wasn't saved. He had never asked God for his forgiveness. He had never repented of his sin. And that day, that man took the time with young Charlie and he opened up God's word, John chapter 3 and the verse 16. For God so loved the world. And he told him about God's wonderful love. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Charlie, he was confronted by his sin. He was confronted by all of the things that he had done wrong. And that day, he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. He would go on to say, and this is a great quote, he said, "It doesn't matter how famous a cricketer I am, or how rich, or how popular, knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior and serving him is far greater." Far greater. He would say that as he later in life, because for him, he did get his eyes off the Lord, and he began to go his own way. And then he realized, as his brother was lying as what he thought was his deathbed, he realized that he had only one life. In fact, there's another quote by Charlie, and it says, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. It's only what's done for the Lord Jesus Christ will last." Can I ask you a question tonight? What about you? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? That God sent his Son in love for you? And if you will repent of your sin, you too can have your sins forgiven. But you need to get off that broad way. And where is it leading? It's a dangerous road, and it's leading to the place that the Bible calls destruction. In other words, hell. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. We're staying up on the north coast here just this, for a few days, and if you walk up along the coast, and many of you will have done this, and you can go up into the cliffs and look down, and the views are spectacular. And sometimes you see up there, you'll see a sign, and the sign will maybe say "danger" or "don't climb over the fence" or "don't do this." And then when you're younger, you kind of think, "I could do that. I could get over that fence. Maybe I could jump over there and go jump into the sea," and all of these things. But you know, we're tempted, aren't we? We're tempted to think, "Oh, don't do that," and then we're thinking, "Well, maybe I'll try it." And when I think about this, I think about the danger signs. And if we decide to ignore them, we do so at our own risk and at our own peril. And so there's a warning tonight. God in his love tells us about this road, where it will take us. We might have many excuses, but it tells us it ends in a place called hell. It's a terrible place. Talks about weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Maybe weeping for the opportunities that people had in their lifetime when they were in a church just like tonight and they heard the message of the gospel, the message that they needed to get off that broad road. They needed to repent of their sin. That's the message. The great tragedy is that there are so many who think their good living, their good works and their good deeds will get them to heaven. But the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. I want us to move just very quickly in finishing tonight. We've heard about the broad road. We've heard about where it leads, about it's a popular road. We're just take a few moments to think about this. Think about the narrow way or the narrow road. And it says in verse 13, to enter in at the straight gate or the narrow gate. But this word enter in, do you see it there? Enter reminds me of a place of welcome. A welcoming command. If some great leader, oh, maybe you're in business, or maybe you're in a school, or maybe you're somewhere, and someone that's really looked up to sends you a letter to say, "I want you to come to our house," or "I want you to come to the palace," or "I want you to come somewhere else," you would get so excited about it, wouldn't you? And you wouldn't think of just going, "I'll throw that to the side and I'll maybe pick up that invitation some other time. I'm too busy." I'm not going to say that, isn't that right? We're going to go. What a privilege it would be to enter into the palace or to that person or that celebrity's home? Well, the King of Kings tonight calls us to enter. What will we do to get off this broad road that leads to destruction and on to this narrow way that leads where? Well, we'll find out shortly, but we know it's heaven, isn't that right? The straight gate to eternal life is Jesus Christ. John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I am the boy scourge. Does anyone know the rest of this verse? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so this is Jesus, this is God's word telling us that his Son, the Lord Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. It's the only life worth living. In fact, the Bible tells us that he is the door. Remember, we go way back in the Old Testament, we think about Noah. And there God told Noah to build an ark. And in that ark, there was to be one door. One door. One way. That reminds us of, isn't that right, boys and girls? Young people, one way. One way into the ark to escape the judgment of God. There was only one way in, and it was only God that could shut the door. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation. Enter. Enter in while you may. While you have opportunity, we are not guaranteed of another day. Well, think about this narrow way, and I think about something else about it. I think about it's a way that's not easy found. It's not easy found. Few there be that find it, verse 14 tells us. When I was young, I used to love running about the fields. I lived in a place called Portofoque. Anybody heard of it? Centre of the universe. It's a great wee place, Portofoque Fishing Village. But outside the wee village there were World War II air raid shelters. And there were, if you could find them, then you would discover that they were all grown over. And there was a tunnel down in below. And we used to play up there. But the tunnels were hard to find. The entrance was hard to find. But the way to eternal life tonight is not hard to find. In fact, we're telling you about it. How do I enter the narrow gate? We've got the cricket bat again, okay? And on this cricket bat, we've heard about this dark colour, the black, reminding us of our sin, that we're on the broad road, we're sinners, going in the wrong direction, away from God. Then we've got the red. Boys and girls, is there anybody can tell me what's the red? What is it? The most important, isn't it? The red speaks to us of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made on Calvary. It tells us in the Bible, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, can cleanse us from all sin. That's the way. The only way through the Lord Jesus Christ. He can wash our sins away. And the white reminds us of that. It reminds us that though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, when we trust in the Saviour. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus says in a verse, in chapter 13, verse 24, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. For a person to get to heaven, he must come by the door, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by Buddha, not by Mary, not by any of the other thousands of religious ways, seemingly, but through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, Phil, I know all this. I've heard this all before. Maybe tonight is the night that God is specifically speaking to you. I would say to you tonight, if you are on that broad road, tonight, make this the night where you commit your way to trusting the Lord Jesus, repenting of your sin, and ask them to come into your life. The Holy Spirit may be speaking to you just now. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There was a man called John Newton, and John Newton, he was on a ship in a storm. And for some, we can experience storms in our lives. But this particular storm that night turned out to be a storm that brought John Newton to the cross, to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus spoke to him and saved him. And he described it as this: amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I say. You see, this offer of God's mercy to you is time limited. And it will not be always open. The door will not always be open. And so now is the accepted time. And I say to you tonight, now is the day of salvation. It's a narrow way. It's a narrow path. Straight as the gate. When I think about a piece of property, I think about a wall or a fence around it. And it often will have a gate. I think about my own house, and I remember building a little fence right round the house when the children were very young. And as you think about that, was I a bad father for doing that? Why was I doing it? Well, I was doing it to keep the children from running on the road and getting injured and getting hurt. And so I think about God's love for you tonight. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. God loves us, and he would that none should perish, but that each one should put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many false teachers today will tell us, you just have to, do this and do that, and that's all very easy, and it's just a quick put your hand up, put it down, and that's it. But it's a difficult road. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. There are many thorns along the way, and many are the dangers we meet. I'm going to finish off with, it leads to life eternal. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life. John 10:10, Jesus gives a wonderful promise. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. Once we're saved, it's not an easy path, as I mentioned there. There are many, I like to think of it as potholes on the road. I don't know about you up here, maybe you don't have potholes, but down in Portadown there's plenty of them from time to time. And it reminds me, there are many people out there will try and trip you up as a Christian, in your workplace, in your college, in your school, where God has placed you as a Christian. But the Lord walks the journey with us. There are many nettles. Ever walk a path, a winding path sometimes out in a forest, and you go off track a wee bit, and there's a wee small track, and there's the nettles all around, and they can sting you. And so that reminds me of what people can say sometimes. Words can hurt us, and people will say things, and you're good living, you're all of these things, and try and put you down. Praise God that the Lord says, lo, I am with you always. The Lord's with us. And so let us be people that encourage each other on this narrow path. If you're saved tonight and you love the Lord Jesus, let's be people that encourage one another. Let's pray for one another. And let's be bearing one another's burdens. Just like the Bible, God's Word says. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. But maybe there's someone, and we've been speaking tonight about these two roads. Maybe there's someone in you, as it were, are at the crossroads of life. The crossroads. You've heard the message before, but God has been speaking to you, maybe even tonight, and revealing to you afresh your need of a Saviour. Your need to get off the broad road, and by God's grace to get on to the narrow way. There's maybe a battle raging in the heart tonight. El Toro Tunnel in Italy will always be remembered as the place where many, many people lost their lives. One of the greatest rail disasters in the whole of Europe. A train was coming into the tunnel, many, many carriages on it, over 500 people on board. Comes into the tunnel, it's way back during World War II. As the train comes into the tunnel, it stalls. There are two engines, there's one at the front and one at the back, two drivers, usually going in the same direction. But as that stalled, that front engine stalled in the tunnel, the front driver, he put it into reverse, trying to reverse back out again. No communication with the rear driver. He's trying to go forward, and there's this whole push-pull going on the whole time. In the meantime of this delay, the tragedy on it all was this, that the fumes that were coming from that engine were filling the tunnel, and over 500 people lost their lives. Satan will throw you many excuses tonight why you shouldn't trust the Saviour. And there will be this whole push-pull going on right now, maybe in your heart. Will I follow the Lord Jesus, or will I do it some other time? And the Lord's speaking to you tonight, and he says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't stay on that broad road tonight. Make your decision tonight. Hear the call of God and leave your all and follow Him. Jesus calls you tonight. Follow me off the broad way onto the narrow path. To delay may result in ending in a place that the Bible calls destruction, that terrible place called hell. I trust tonight that you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, will put your faith and trust in Him. It will be the best decision you ever make. May God help you tonight. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Tonight, bringing the message of the gospel. Should have said earlier, he's the son of the Reverend Jim Harden. Many of you will remember the Lord's servant. And it's good to see the children of pastors involved in God's work. I'm going to bow together in prayer to seek the Lord together. Father, we thank Thee for the past week, for the presentation of the gospel at Youth Challenge. And we thank Thee for tonight. And these words of the Saviour, very appropriate words that challenge us, bring a warning to us. And we pray that You will speak, that there will be those who will strive to enter in. Lord, we thank Thee that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news, that men do not need to be lost, they do not need to perish in destruction forever, but the Lord, through His great work at the cross of Calvary, has opened up a way into the Father's house. And there is a way to God, there is a way of salvation, a way to heaven itself. And Jesus Christ is that way. We pray that You will speak to children and parents and older folks that are in this meeting tonight and those that are listening in. May the entrance of God's word give them light and understanding and bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. Bless all the seed of the gospel that has been sown, and may the Lord's great name be uplifted and magnified as a result. Separate us now with Your blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming tonight to the meeting. May the Lord bless you. We can't go to the door in the usual fashion. I've been going down just to stand at a distance. If Phil is happy to do that, you can stand and wave to people like that. But you'll be told how to leave tonight so that it's safe for you.